بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. A doctor is learning medicine from the books on its own. So the science is beneficial, needed by man. It brings so much of relief, so much of ease. But he's doing it directly from the books. He's got no tutor, no instructor, no one above him. Sometimes he can cause irreparable damage. I've been speaking about this. Sometimes there's a specialist doctor and he administered a penicillin injection without seeing that the patient is allergic to it or not. As a result, the patient went into a coma. It's up in front of us now recently, about 1 or 2 years ago. Similar thing happened to this Yaqub Bhai Wahid Al-Imdad, specialist doctor from Johannesburg, and he administered some similar type of an injection. Up till now, it's only 2 years past, he hasn't recovered. Memory loss, you're like in a coma, then paralyzed, then up till now he hasn't recovered fully. This is the danger, this is the problem of studying books on your own. You have doctors, you have hakims, and they feel no, we can do it. What is the need of the teacher, of the guide? In the tasawwuf they talk about char tark, to leave out four things. So why they ask you to leave out these four things? And what are the four things they ask you to leave out? One is to abstain from talking, abstain from meeting, abstain from dunya and its temptations, and abstinence from the akhirat as well. Now if someone read this article of his own and he comes across this four tarqs, and that fourth tark, you have to abstain from the akhirat as well. Now, he'll say this is baddini, this is irreligious. Right? Then they went to the extent, just to remind them, they used to have this topi sewn with four columns. See, yours got four or five. Four. Four columns, right? So, leaving out and abstaining from dunya, we can understand. Leaving out temptations, we can understand. Leaving out abstinence from talking unnecessarily, that we can understand. But now, leaving out the hereafter, so they are, what they're saying is just get Allah Ta'ala rooted into your heart, and leave this out as well. So, now, what's the meaning of this? So, if someone has been doing this thing here, the tasawwuf, without an instructor, without a teacher, then he goes off. Now, for you to understand this, let me give you two stories, you'll understand this in perspective. So, we were in India sometimes, and we happened to pass Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullahi's mazar, his grave. So we saw one Hindu sitting on the side. They also come for blessings, right? They come for blessings. So we saw a Hindu pareshan, disheveled hair, clothing is not right, in a bad state. So one friend asked him, hey, kya baat hai? What's gone wrong with you? So he ignored him and said, stigma. So, but akhir batao to sahi, show us If we can help you, we'll assist you. He persisted and persisted and persisted until this Hindu pulled out his wallet and he showed a photo of the world's best tennis player, woman, right? She's in action. Now, can you imagine now? She's in action. She'll be jumping, hair will be flapping, dress will be short, and the attraction, how you to capture the person. And the camera also looks for this type of situations just to capture that. When they capture that, and the viewers also, they say, hey, this sight here is too good, too thrilling. They said, this is the thing that has captured my heart. Now when I heard the story, I understood some things, took some lessons from this. See, sometimes you see something, and when you see it, your heart is captured. When your heart is captured, then you can't move. Now, this person was a very educated person, intelligent, some degrees, all that. And then his heart got captured. When his heart got captured, he can't move. He can't do anything, he can't think for himself, he can't work, he can't be productive to his wife, his children, to his family, he can't do anything. Why? He's got captured. Captivity, serious captivity. So this is one story. Second story is Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullahi. He gave a bayan in the Tabligh Ijtima. So then he explained about Jannat, etc. to attract people to the Akhirat, leave their hold on the here of this world, and then you can hold on to the hereafter. So in the course of his bayan, he spoke about the hoors of Jannat. Now it is a winter's night, cold, you know, in Delhi and around Delhi, it's the belt of the Himalayas, and the winters becomes too cold, right? He's giving a bayan, and he's giving the description of the hoors, right? The complexion, and the height, and the beauty, and all that. By the morning, they discovered that the bathrooms were overcrowded, queuing up, hundreds of people. Now that had overtaken their minds, they were overwhelmed, and they saw something, and then now Ijtima people, the Intizamiya, they got into a problem. How do we sort this thing out here? So to talk about the hereafter and to have a hearing of the hereafter is matlub, is a required thing, is a desired thing. But if you become a captain now, can you function? If you're captivated, captured now, can you function? Can you understand? Can you look after your wife, children, your obligations and duties? Can you do that? Can't do it. See? This last week, one woman is complaining that I have a good husband, everything is good in him. She's writing, his husband is very good, but just that he wants me not to wear the parda, the shorts, and don't have a veil over my face, and dress up and going out in public with tights. See? Then when he's viewing television, I'm sitting next to him and see all that. Now, all type of things that come up. So one is, he is insisting that she mustn't be clad correctly. When he is viewing the wrong, that she must sit next to him. When she's going out in the open, she must be tight, etc. So now, she's asking me what to do. Now, if this woman was hypnotized and mesmerized by the husband's love, then what will she do? Will she be obedient to Allah Ta'ala, or will she be obedient to the husband? What she'll be? What she'll be doing? She's mesmerized in love now. Love and affection, all that, has gone so deep into her. Then will she be able to listen to Allah Ta'ala? So I have to explain to this woman, see, we obey the husband because of Allah Ta'ala. It's a command of Allah Ta'ala to respect to obey, to be good to the husband. That is the command of Allah Ta'ala. Right? But if the husband himself is not good to Allah Ta'ala, he's not listening to Allah Ta'ala, then we won't listen to him. We are listening to the husband, we are obeying him, loving him, respecting him, because of the love of Allah Ta'ala. But if there is an interruption between him and Allah Ta'ala's love, relationship, etc., then what's the point in listening to him? We can't listen to him. He is heading towards destruction, and he will lead you to destruction as well. So sometimes you get a class of person that take these things so much, they get captivated, they become overwhelmed, when they become captivated, they can't function. That's why Rasulullah was meant to caution those Sahaba Kiram, they were captivated, they were overwhelmed. One says that Akumul Layl Wala Anam, I'll stand the whole night in Tahajjud, I won't sleep. Asumu Wala Uftir, I'll fast all time and I won't break the fast. Third person said, La atazawwaju nisa, I won't get married. So Rasulullah possibly had to correct them. See, are you captivated? When you're captivated, you lose your moderation. When you lose your moderation, you can't do things, you can't function right. So that is where they ask you to do this fourth tarq. You get Allah Ta'ala deeply seated in your heart. Then it is just Allah Ta'ala that you see. Then here also it can be, there can be some type of extremism, but the Shaykh that knows that from here he'll bring you up again. See, he'll bring you up again and then he'll moderate you. See, he won't just leave you there. He will take you, he'll put you deep and then he will then moderate you and you can function like a normal person. See. So this is how life functions normally. The example that is given is you've got a folded paper, and that folded paper you need to straighten it, right? So it's folded like this. When it's folded, you need to straighten it like this. But if you're going to fold it like this, if you're going to open it like this, it won't be straight. You have to fold it the other way around. When you fold it the other way around, now you'll get it straight. So you have to put it a little bit over the limit to get it straightened out. So now, you'll see in the teaching of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also, so, when the prohibition of dogs had come in, said, kill them, right? Now when the Sahabi Kiram understood now, and that prohibition was, had taken the right place in their hearts, had seated well in their hearts, then he says, Mali Wadil Kilab. Then, I don't have any enmity for these things yet. Yes, that people becoming over attached to dogs, and taking them as pets and keeping them in their homes. This is the prohibited thing. But if you call it for security reasons, you know, someone has got it to herd his cattle, someone has got it for security reason, or a blind man has got it as a guide, then you're stopping him. Yes. You give it its place, then it's permissible. Now, this was the first command. Similarly, you find when wine was prohibited, so Rasulullah had prohibited them from tubba and hantam and the other things available, the other containers where wine was produced, he asked them to break them down as well. Right? To break those containers. Right? Wine is abolished, and the containers where wine is produced, that is also prohibited, right? Because if those containers are not prohibited, right, what will happen? Then you'll have flashbacks. Your mind will go back onto those containers. The container will lead you to the haram. Because you're so attached to it, you're so familiar, and you saw that thing, it brings flashbacks, brings your memories. When it brings your memories, then you want to go back to it. So you say, the root of it is this thing here. So let's smash this thing down. Now, when the resentment had gone deep into the hearts, I said, no, now you can use it. So you see how this thing works. So now, someone is thinking about Jannat hereafter, and then he's got too deep into it, very deep into it, he becomes captivated. When he becomes captivated, then he can't function. Now, let's bring him now to moderation. So if he is Allah Ta'ala, then it's easy to make that adjustment. If now, for example, with the love of Allah Ta'ala, and there was some excess, he didn't give time to his children and his wife, then we can moderate that, we can correct that easily, right? Because then we will tell him, alright, you're doing all this for Allah Ta'ala, but Allah Pak wants you to be good towards them. And if you aren't going to be good towards your wife and children, then he won't be happy. So to bring about a moderation in that, that will be permissible, it will be easy, right? But to bring a moderation in other things becomes quite very difficult. You mix up things, and you'll confuse, you'll complicate things. Two brothers now, one brother's son and the other brother's daughter. Pious, both are pious. So the father of the girl is saying, get them married now, they're of age, now get them married. So the boy's father is saying, no, he's not ready yet. He said, what do you mean? He's already 20, 21. So what do you say that he's not ready? He said, no, I'm telling you he's not ready. He's still going through some spiritual exercise. And because of the exercise that he's going through, mentally he's not still in the state of getting married. Because marriage doesn't only mean that you are mature. Marriage comes with certain responsibilities and obligations. Idha sabat al-shayt, sabat bilawazimihi, right? Marriage now, it's got a whole string of responsibilities now. Get the house, get the furniture, whatever other appliances that are required, then see to the bills, see to the groceries, see to the medication, all that, see all that. Right? So it comes with a whole host of responsibilities. Right? You don't say now, all right, now marriage now, and that's over. So it comes in, it comes with a whole string of responsibilities. And if someone is mature, and there is an urge in him to get married, but he cannot see to the responsibility of saying, no, hold on. Why? Because you may damage the next person's life. Now, she becomes your responsibility, and you can't see to her responsibilities, you may hurt her. Right? She may not be able to go through that suffering, through that constraints, and that abstention. You are on a spiritual level, but she's not of the same. Then she will damage herself, she will hurt herself. It may be that you can live on 10 khajurs for the day and water, you can pull through like that, but she can't do that. She needs all the variety of foods and comfort of the house, she needs all that to sustain herself. And now you're just giving her the 10 khajurs or something to live, salah gashla. Can she manage? She can't manage it. So when she can't manage it, then you will see that this is your responsibility, you will see to all the things here, then you can talk about marriage. So the boy's father is not getting married now, he is not still ready for it. Anyway, the girl's father was insisting, being a brother now, the brother gave in, he got them married. Now, at night, the boy is sitting in his muraqabah, in a state of meditation, making zikr. He's gone so deep that he can't see. His mind has gone so deep and so much absorbed in Allah Ta'ala that he can't see anything but Allah Ta'ala. So when he's seeing the whole world, he's seeing it purely as a reflection of the beauty of Allah Ta'ala. The whole world. So it's only Allah Ta'ala. The rest is just a reflection. It's not a reality. Yeah? So that's how he's looking at it. So this has gone so deep in his heart, and sense. What he's thinking of is right, but now he needs to moderate the thing. See? So the whole thing is just a reflection. Now he's got so deep. Right? So his wife is waiting for him now. Now they just married, and she wants some attention, she wants some time. So he looked around and he saw his wife. So when he saw his wife, he said, "Who are you?" He says, "Zawjatu, I am your wife." So he turned around and said, "Allahu wahda la sharika la." You say, "You are my partner." Allah Ta'ala got no partner. But now he's in a different state, different frame of mind, and he just said, "Allah Ta'ala has got no partner." So that it had such an effect that she just burned to ashes straight. Now, that was the level that he was at. See, when he was at that level, that's what happened to this girl. So the boy's father told, "See, I was stopping you because of this reason." He's still going through a phase, exercise. He's still exercising spiritually. In the process, now you pulled him out and you want him to get married. This is going to happen. So leave him, let him finish all this, right? When he's finished, when he's moderated, then he can come back, he can come around, see. Like, our nikah, you say, what? Nikah, you say, min sunnati, right? Faman radhiban sunnati. And man tazawwaja faqad istakmala nisfal iman, right? He's completed half his faith. Now, a student is studying, and he's saying to his father that he wants to get married. So the father says, "No, just hold on. Once you've completed, then you can make nikah." "No, no, you must. For God is taqmala nisfal iman. You can't do it. Half iman is not full." The father knows if he's going to get married now, he can't pay attention to it. Not that the father is against nikah. Who can say that he's against it? The ways of the Anbiya, Sunnah of the Anbiya. But if he's going to get married now, then this is what's going to be the result. Now, can you say that the father is against the Sunnah? Can you say that he's against fulfilling nisf of iman? So, this is an obligation. Ilm is an obligation. Wife is an obligation. Wife is studying and he's got married, one of two things will get affected. Either the relationship with his wife will get affected, or his study is going to get affected. One of the two is going to happen. And he is desperate, he is pining to complete the studies, right? If you ask him to leave it out, his mind is going to go off, right? And if you want to ask him not to get married, his mind is already in that girl. Now what do you do? So they will discourage you from nikah, not because nikah is a bad thing, not because it is haram. Because they know that's the state of your mind, that's a limit. You can't go beyond the limit. It's your capacity, you have to live within your capacity. You can't go beyond your capacity. So this Buzurganadin, when they instituted this, fourth tark. You understood now why. Now, without this explanation, and I just tell you, leave this out there, what happens? So that happens, that's a result of doing tasawuf, taking up a science without the supervision of a guide. No guide, and so look at one kitab, who did this, he read that Durood Sharif, and he read this kalima, and he read this type of exercise, and this is the experience that he went through, so let me do the same. So it's not that you will not go through the experience, you may go through the experience, but because it's not supervised, then you're going to go off. So they say in Tariq, you know, Tariq, I told you about a doctor and the destruction that he can bring about when there is no supervision. Same will happen to a Hakim. And the Hakim is not supervised, he can also bring about destruction. So they talk about one Hakim and so many lives he had taken, so many people he had caused to die. So what happened was that he had seen one kitab. In the old days when they used to write kitab, right? There won't be zabar zebs and there won't be nuktas. That's the old way. They won't write zabar zebs, right? So this person, this Hakim Sahib, came across the hadith, Al-Habbatu al-Sawda Shifa'un bi kulli mard, right? When we talk about kulunji, right? Habbatu al-Sawda, how we translate it as kulunji, right? So the kulunji is a cure for every sickness. Now remember now, in the old, they weren't writing zabar zers, they weren't writing buktas. So they left it to the reader. The reader must figure out how this is supposed to be, right? Like you get certain words in English. Now, if the person is, he knows the language, he knows how to pronounce it, he knows what they're talking about. Right? Like, for example, the word knife, right? Start off with a K, right? Now, someone is not familiar with the language, what will, how will he read? Knife. How will he read, right? So, you know about the language, then you know the finer aspects of how this thing works, right? But you're not familiar with the language, you can cause problems. So now, this Hakim Sahib now, he's reading from the book, straight now administering. So that's why they say you need the supervision. You need the guidance. And this guidance is such, supervision is such, that as that munasabat, the familiarity grows, then the fun, the science also becomes very, very easy to understand. You can comprehend it, you can understand it very well. That requires munasabat. But now you don't have the munasabat, then that what you're supposed to be getting, that's lost. See? Because now you don't have the munasabat. When you don't have the munasabat, you can't understand the concepts. When you can't understand the concepts, you can't progress. Now the question is then, how do you create the munasabat? How do you create the munasabat? So there can be one of two ways that the munasabat is created. One way is that the sheikh must see in every individual now, he's talking to 40 people, 50 people, 100 people, and try and tailor the talk according to every individual. Is that easy? There are 50 people there. Now if you tailor and design the talk according to every individual, can you do it? It'll be difficult. He's got a different mizaj, he's got a different mizaj, he's got a different mizaj. Now to tailor it out, work it out according to every person's mizaj, it'll be difficult. The other way, simple, straightforward, practical way is that if they tailor themselves to the mizaj of the sheikh, they tailor themselves to the mizaj of the sheikh, it becomes easy. Because for one person to have 50, 70 outfits at one at the same time, it's going to be difficult. But for them to put on one outfit, it's going to be easy. Just one outfit, just put this thing on here and come in. See? You put this outfit and you come in, it's easy for the person. So now, if every person wants, no, I must be tailored differently, right? Might be zadi like this. Then this process becomes very difficult. Becomes very difficult, becomes impractical. The simple thing is by just you tailor yourself. Tailor yourself, just adjust yourself. But what that requires is a little bit of mujahada. And the mujahada is to do with the ego, see. I am a little bit different to others. I must be treated differently. So now, that I has to come out of the system. To the extent that I comes out of the system, then you come to moderation. جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. You are an ummah, totally moderate, excellent and moderate. Because moderation is the best thing, right? In anything, any person, to bring about the beauty, excellence, etc. And what's required to bring about the beauty, the thing that's required to bring about the beauty is moderation. If the moderation is not there, there's no balance, then there is no beauty, right? For example, his eyes are very beautiful, right? But one eye is smaller than the other. One eye is smaller than the other. Now, does the beauty come out? So you need to have it in moderation. Or his hand looks too rough, so beautiful, his fist is. But now, he doesn't have one finger. No? Or he has a sixth finger. But his hands overall look too beautiful, but he has a sixth finger. Now, do you find the beauty in it? Why? Because there isn't the moderation. The moderation brings about the beauty. So this ummah is counted as جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. In the top masjid, so some janazah like to perform, the crowd is a little bit big. So the crowd is big now. Someone started a stand, it would be tight at the corner one side, so that you can fit in more serfs. So then so the namaz is valid because the arkan are found, so the namaz is valid, but I didn't feel comfortable. So when that Mori Bilal, his father passed away, Bilal Bhai passed away. So I told him, see, before the namaz can be performed, that, see, the hadith says, Wasitul Imam. Imam's place must be central. Center the Imam, right? Center the Imam. Alhamdulillah, he said, no, gladly. So he brought the janazah right at the center, so that the serfs can be equal on both ends, to the right and to the left, see. Now this way you may fit in more, but then you don't practice the hadith, wasitul imam. And that's an emphasized hadith that the imam must be centered. Now imagine, if you take the musalla, put one corner this side here, and all the serfs are all lined up, that they look right. It doesn't even look right. So the thing that is in the corner of the sunnah is going to be most beautiful. Is it? Imagine now, musalla was right on that corner there. Right on this corner, extreme corner. So it will look beautiful. So the beauty comes when the sunnah is practiced. It's easy, it's beautiful, and it is attractive as well. See? So this ummat is known as ummatan wasatan. So this wasat now requires that you need some panel beating. Sometimes on the right, sometimes on the left, sometimes on the top. Then will you get the moderation. And you don't do this thing here, you're not going to get the moderation, you won't get the beauty, you can't get the type of proximity that you are looking forward to. But then the car has to take the panel beating. Now you're knocking the car to get it straight. Bumper is damaged. So you're getting that thing straight, that is kind of, hey, too much, I can't take it. I'm getting hurt now. So you start off with the bonnet. Now the bonnet, that's also damaged badly. So, bonnet is saying, right, the car will still move, even if the thing is knocked down, right? Knocked down, or looking very ugly. The car can still move, hey, just move it like that. The panel beater says, hey, then I got no job here. What is my job? My job is to put everything right, in place. And if the bonnet is not right, the bumper is not right, see? Then I got no job. The doors are all smashed in. I got no job then. My job is to put it right. Then what's my job thereafter? This is hurtful, that is hurtful, this is hurtful, that is hurtful. So, the simple thing is now, we blend into the mizaj and into the temperament of the instructor, what he's saying, the school did. And when he knows now, I got it, then he can give it the shape of his choice. And then I said, for that you need the munasabat. Now the munasabat comes like this. There's different way to create that munasabat. But one genuine way to get the munasabat that I've seen, if there is a little bit of inconsistency between both the temperaments, so what should you be doing? So you make your visits more frequent. Say if, for example, you talk to the person once a week, now every second, third day, coming and talking, even if it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And rather than you doing the talking, that becomes like the routine now, it's a current thing. The Shaykh doesn't have to do the talking, the murid will do all the talking. Shaykh must say, oh, alright. So, you talk a little bit where it's needed, and then let him do the talking. See, let him do the talking. Instead of now you doing the talking, the murid is doing the talking, let the Hakim, whoever is checking, he let him do the talking. If it was your talking that was required, then you didn't need to come and give this takbir and bayan in his presence. You were by your wife or someone who do it there. But now you want his specialized attention. So see what he has to say. Slowly, you can understand why. This is weakness. Correct this. But if you're not going to do it, then that munasabat won't be created. If the munasabat is not created, then this will stretch the whole exercise. What you could have achieved in maybe one day or 2 days, sometimes it will take you 5 years. 5 years, and you still didn't have it. 5 years gone, and then you haven't achieved. Mulana came to Montani Sabah in Bali. So I told him, okay, tumhare andar takabbur hai, you got takabbur. So he says tomorrow, I don't have that takabbur. Or insect. Those who are the stylists, they don't, after that they don't decide one time, and then they won't argue the point. So he's not being insignificant. 5 years after this, he comes back and says, Mother, you know, you told that I was takabur. Yeah, I verified, I confirmed that I do have the takabur, right? So Mu'adh told him, see, the 5 years progress had been halted because of your denial. Had you accepted that at that moment, then you would have been 5 years forward. But at that time you were in the denial. When you were in the denial, so the whole process was stopped, halted. And you just accepted, you could have moved on. Now, one is that happened. Second thing happened is that you didn't have the trust and the confidence in yourself. You had the trust in yourself. So your trust in yourself was greater than the trust on your senior. So there wasn't a need for you to come here. If you trust yourself so much that I can detect, I can find out, I can scan it myself, was there a need? So the Shaykh also feels, well, he doesn't have the trust in me now. So he needs to find his own thing now. See, so the trust is gone. When the trust is gone, then the whole process of Islam also, that gets affected. Now you think, no, this is happening, that's happening. Right. Forget all these things here. That's all your, it's just speculation and doubts. What? It's speculation and doubts. One person, one young student, 20, 22 years of age, that time in Darul Deoband, there are students coming from Samarkand, Tajkand, Afghanistan, that time they didn't have all these passport restrictions and all that. So he came in and he wanted admission perhaps in the fifth year. Right? So they examined him, and they examined him, they asked him to go to the third year. So he came the next morning and he says, I saw Rasulullah Pakhs or some, and the Rasulullah Pakhs is telling that I must be given a place in the fifth year. So the Shaykh Ulin Rahmatullah Samana, that whole thing has to go to the Shaykh Ulin Rahmatullah. So the Shaykh Ulin says, you sit in the third year, when it comes to Rasulullah Pakhs, you will try and understand it yourselves. What he was indicating, what he was alluding towards, we will understand it. Right? The dream must be true, so Rasulullah said, must be true. Well, now, I read this incident and thinking, well, now, how do you work it out? Man ra'ani, faqad ra'ani, faqad ra'a al-haq. So one easy understanding comes. Sometimes you say, sometimes the answer is very close, very near. But the problem is, things that are near, your mind doesn't go to it. Your mind will go to something far away, right? In Yasfang, you know. So there was one boy, won't take his name. But his brothers are all big Mulanas, so I'll mention his name. So now he wants to truant the class. And 2 days he was absent, so Mulana was looking for him. So when he saw Mulana coming, he just jumped the window and outside is a small ledge, see? And on that ledge now, there is just parallel to the ledge is a column, right? So he hid behind the column. So why looking everywhere, in the room, everywhere, under the bed, everywhere, nowhere to be found. And how articulate this boy was, just hid there, and he couldn't make it out. So that's why they say, when you want to hide, then you hide somewhere near, not far away. And the proof of this is from the Ghara Hira, or Ghara Sur, right? So Rasulullah said, just have to go far away and hide nearby. It's about 2-3 kilometers away from Makkah Mukarramah. And they couldn't find him. See this. So what we're talking about is this munasabat. Right? And how you build this munasabat. Because the munasabat is the prerequisite. See, they say that there's 2 things that are required. Right? So nearly all the mashayikh are unanimous. 2 things are required. One is i'tiqad, one is muhabbat. And from that i'tiqad and muhabbat, the greater thing is the muhabbat. I'tiqad is important, but more than i'tiqad, trust is the muhabbat. Because if the muhabbat is like desire, then everything goes well. You know, they say love is blind. Love is like, you don't think of that. Because you you're so infatuated that you don't ask anything. So that's what love makes you do. Right? Anything makes you ask you, so you will do it. You will think about it later, but you will do it now. But if that love is not to that level, then that means you don't have the love at the desired level. And when you don't have it at the desired level, then you can't move. See? So I was talking about that hadith, Man ra'ani faqad ra'a al-haq. You get situations where there is some other type of kalam. The man has seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but there is some other type of kalam. One person is seeing a wine glass of wine, and Rasulullah is asking him to drink of it. Now they give a lot of tashrihat to explain this, right, what happened, etc. But one simple illustration that came to my mind was this, that فَقَدْ رَآ الْحَقِّ. He saw the truth. So the truth that has been guaranteed, he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What he saw, that was guaranteed. He saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is genuine. There's no two ways about it, right? But did he hear the truth? The hadith say فَقَدْ سَمِيَ الْحَقِّ. He didn't say فَقَدْ سَمِيَ الْحَقِّ. He said فَقَدْ رَآ الْحَقِّ. مَنْ رَآنِي فَقَدْ رَآنِي فَرَأَفْ. Man ra'ani faqad ra'a al-haq. So the ru'yat, that's confirmed. That he saw what he saw was right. He saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it's not a guarantee that he has heard the truth. See, I see the student here and what he's talking about. So he must have seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the words are not guaranteed because it's in the alam al-ru'ya. Yes, the vision is guaranteed. Now, there's two incidents to prove this is what came to my mind. But what strengthened this is that vision of Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullahi with that Qazi Ziauddin Sunan. It's a long story, somebody shall explain that. And it was a question about the debating Sima. Sima, is it right or not right? Now, both have a vision of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam simultaneously, straight away at that time. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explaining Qazi Ziauddin, who is the head of the police now, that Faqir ko pareshan na karo. Don't harass this buzurg. This Faqir, they call him a buzurg. So don't harass him. So Qazi sahab is saying, Ya Rasulullah, I don't know now what I'm seeing, because one is in alam ruya what I'm seeing, and one is in alam haqiqat what we have heard with a strong chain of narrators, authentic, reliable chain of narrators. That's what we have heard, and one is in this alam I'm seeing. So what do I give preference to? I give preference to this what I'm seeing in the alam ruya, or do I give preference to that which we are getting with a strong chain of narrators coming to us? So obviously the answer was that you will give a preference to that which is coming with an authentic source. So then this other incident, say فَرَآ الْحَقِّ, the ru'yat is confirmed, is guaranteed. But the sima, can you say now the sima is also guaranteed, that what you heard was directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That maybe your mind has said something, or you understood something, or he was giving some other message and you misconstrued it. So there's a lot of ihtimal in that. But the ru'yat, that is confirmed. This is not confirmed, that is confirmed. See? So this munasabat we are talking about, and how that munasabat is built. So you come initially, maybe you will find something unpleasant, unmanageable, all that. Then you begin to understand, you see things, and slowly there's a munasabat. Now you begin to gel and put things in place. Now you can, it's easy for you to put things in place. But now, if because of that qillat munasabat, and you distant your visit, so what happens? That munasabat has to be built. See? That's why Hazrat Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, he had come to see her Hadith of Rahmatullah, but at an odd hour. Sometimes it's a resting hour, but he had come and he asked for maaf. That this was your resting time and I had interrupted your resting time. So Hadith of Rahmatullah's answer was, hijab as aghyar. Hijab as aghyar, na as ahbab, right? Hijab, you keep a little bit of a distance from who? From aghyar, people that are not familiar, right? People that are not familiar, they're still finding their bearings, they're not familiar, so you observe a little bit of a distance from them. But people that are already now in the system, you know, so you don't make hijab from them, you don't have to keep a distance, because it's a free flow. The flow is absolutely free. When the flow is free, so your presence doesn't bring an interruption. But if the flow is not free, then your presence brings about an interruption. See? Here it's free, it's coming. Your presence, so he feels, he doesn't feel any type of, discomfort or unfamiliarity with your presence. So anyway, we're talking about this Hakim. And the Hakim, he sent so many people to the Qabristan, see. But what was the cause? The cause was looking into the books himself independently without the supervision of a senior. And I explained after that there wasn't the Zabar Zers, there wasn't Nuktas and all in the original language, right? That was now later on. Zabar Zers all came later on. So now, instead of reading it as Habbatu Say Souda, Dawa'un likulli mardin, he read it as Al-Hayyatu Souda, Dawa'un likulli mardin. The black mama, you know, the black mama, it's about the most venomous snake. Black mama is the most venomous snake. So he read the whole thing as Al-Hayyatu Souda, Dawa'un likulli mardin. That the black mama is a cure for every sickness. When he read it like this, then he began to administer that to his patients. One died, second person died, third person died. Now they caught up with him. So many people are dying. They caught up with him. See? But now you see this self-study in what he does. And one is a supervised study. Therefore, the mutaqaddimin say that you are elder now. Even in the process, sometimes he made a mistake. His mistake is better than your sawab. What you thought was right, and you explained it with your ijtihad, and what he thought was right with his ijtihad, his mistake is better than your sawab. Now I was thinking, why do they say that? Because now it's a zamana of logic. Zamana of computers, right? Not a zamana of suhbat. You see, you get mashayikh, and you get two types, right? You get two types of mashayikh. One is Mashayikh al-Suhba and one is Mashayikh al-Riwaya. Like you hear this student, he had 5,000 Mashayikh. Right? Then you get a Mashayikh al-Suhba. So what's the difference? So the difference is, some you just take from. Take from, right? Hadith, whatever you took. And the other is, with taking from the person, you made iltizam of his suhbat. Isn't there a difference? So one is, you are just going to him for the purposes of riwayat. That he's got the riwayat, nobody else has the riwayat, so therefore I'm going to him so that I can benefit from the riwayat. Nobody else has that. But as far as the suhbat now, it's one person. Right? And I'm making iltizam and committing myself to the suhbat with that person. So this, when you hear now, that Imam Bukhari or whoever has so many mashayikh, right? But then you'll see when you're doing the whole exercise, you'll find, all right, but whose suhbat was he constant upon? 10 people, 20 people, 100 people, or was one person? Find, by and large, you'll find that one person's suhbat he was committed to. Others he went for the barakat of the isnad, right? But his suhbat is very good, so let me go and take it from him. But then the suhbat is one person. Because it's not possible to be now committed to so many people's suhbat. Is it possible? Is it possible? So I feel sometimes I feel a little bit difficult when students are visiting after some time, you know, after 5 months, 6 months, or 5 years they're coming. And I can see the difficulty. They don't say it, but I can understand that, especially with a student that is very loyal. For I can understand the difficulty on his face. Now he's thinking, all right, I studied the kitabs and I have about 10 ustads, right? Or 15 ustads there from the beginning right till the end. So I'm going to visit them, must bring a parcel for everybody. So how many parcels I bring? One parcel for him, one parcel for him, one parcel for him. But sometimes I can see this is happening, you see. He'll leave now about 7-8 parcels outside the office. He doesn't know how to see this, and one parcel will bring him. Now, I find it difficult. Why I find it difficult? It's because the poor person, because of his loyalty now, then he has to find an equal present for everybody. Now, that can become quite expensive. So now some people, what I found now, what they do now, they buy something that is a little bit cheaper, but you can get it in big packs. You know? So, you know, you bluff a child. One way to bluff the child is you bought him something. He wants something bulky, you see. So you bought him a cheap toy, but he must be bulky, right? Instead of buying a small toy, right? Small toy without any bulk. A toy like this, this is 100 rand, and the small one maybe 500 rand, right? So you bought him the bulky thing. So now, these children, they use that type of logic with me now. I went out through all these things, I see all these things here. But I feel them sorry because of the loyalty. Now they will do something, but what should we be doing now? For 10 ustads now, and 10 ustads, how can we be loyal to all of them at one and the same time? I will tell them afterwards. See, someone that I got an informal relationship with. See, you lost the essence of hadiyah. You lost the essence. The whole essence of hadiyah is something else. What was the essence? Taharu, tahabu. You will give it for growing muhabbat. But if you want to make it like this, it's going to be like this. I ask you, will the muhabbat be growing or depleting? Because I say, but go to the madrasa. You have two problems. One problem is, must I go to the madrasa? So I'm going to go, I have to meet 10 ustad. I'm going to meet 10 ustad, I have to take 10 presents, right? Now, will he feel inspired coming? He'll feel discouraged. Hey, yeah, to go, I have to take a present. And when I'm taking a present, I must take for everybody. So will he feel encouraged taking the present? He won't feel encouraged. And Allah must make me mouth, right? I'm not doing to show, I'm not saying to show also. But more than 80-90% of the presents, I think in a day's time, everything is out. I just give it out to someone. Just to make the person happy, I take the thing, right? But when he's gone, the moment he's gone, or maybe a day, half a day, I just give it out. I take this, carry on. But I don't see that ingredient of muhabbat. If it's an ingredient of muhabbat, even if it's small, someone brought on gova, right? Small little thing, but you can see the ingredient of muhabbat, then definitely you want to enjoy that. But if it is just a formality, and a formality is a formality, it's a show. It's not a real thing. It's like, you know, how you get this place, right? In a plane, or somebody's trying to tight punch, somebody's crying. You don't get affected. Why you don't get affected? Because, you know, it's a place. It's giving a punch, right? And the person is doing like he's got hurt, right? So, both of us, both know that it's a play. They don't get affected. No emotions involved. And the whole gist of hadiyah is muhabbat. When it's muhabbat, then that muhabbat needs to be enhanced in the process, through the process of a hadiyah, the muhabbat needs to be enhanced. Let's say even if it's one kajur, it's one piece, but if it's given with that, as it, Nizamuddin Awliya, rahmatullahi alayh, thought of doing some isal al-sawab for Rasulullah Pakistan. You know, so he thought, now I'll do something. In the meanwhile, around the same time, Hazrat Alauddin Sabir Chishti rahmatullahi alayhi also thought of doing some isal al-sawab for Hazrat Rasulullah Pakistan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat Nizamuddin Sabir rahmatullahi alayhi doing an offering. even some charity, some poor person, but something that is very expensive, 100,000, 200,000, according to his. So I'm going to give this away to some poor, that the sawab must go to the Rasulullah s.a.w. So just then he was stopped, said, no, just hold on. Now at this moment, Alauddin rahmatullahi alayhi is making his gift to Rasulullah s.a.w. And he's making, and Rasulullah's whole tawajjuh is on Alauddin Sabri. Just wait for this to finish, and thereafter you can send yours. Now at that time, what Alauddin Sabri was giving? He was just giving a bundle of wood. Just a simple bundle of woods he was giving to some poor, that the sawab must be then conferred to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when I read this incident, I'm thinking to myself, what was the ingredient? That Rasulullah had shown so much of interest on that bundle of wood. Yes, hundreds of thousands are coming in, and here is just a bundle of wood. Both are done, that the sawab must be passed on to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what was the missing link? What was the common denominator? The common denominator was love. That he did it with so much of love that Rasulullah's whole tawajjuh is on that gift. So this ingredient of love, muhabbat, that's the missing link. That's the thing we need to strive for. Not the bulk and not the quantity. It's given with love, with muhabbat. And that love is the thing, he says, in this whole science of the soul, this is the thing that expedites the journey. The proportion of love. Then I'm thinking to myself, alright, where do they get this from? That proportionate to the love is your journey, the speedness of your journey. So they got it from the hadith, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. Did he say, Al-mar'u ma'a man i'taqada? Did he say something else? He said, no, al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. Proportionate to that muhabbat, then is the journey. The swiftness of the journey will be proportionate. Right? How fast? Because your mind will be just working exactly. Look at Sulah Hudaybiyah, and Brother Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is asking the Sahaba Kiram, right, shave and return. And nobody is, nobody is in the state. But Abu Bakr, one shot, he is in that state straight away. Yeah, everybody is in a different frame of mind. The only person is an exception here is Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr is giving the same answer as the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I mean, the flow is so strong. The flow is so strong that what's in the Mubarak heart of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going straight to Abu Bakr. He's giving the exact answer that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given. See the strength. And that is why you find that at the time of the demise of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the strongest person at that time was Abu Bakr. Every person was shaken up. Shaken up to the root. Someone can't even keep himself. Someone is making some statements. But what is going on? But now the love is such, the understanding of the love is such, that it's only Abu Bakr that is the man of the occasion. See that muhabbat. What level of muhabbat? Therefore, the hadith is saying, "Al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba." Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib kareem.